Take me to the key. I don't have much to breathe. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering. Take me to the key. Truth is, I'm tired. Options are few. I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't say what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is, I'm no strength to fight, no tears to cry, even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to
again, this is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall bask in it joyfully. Once again, Good morning, good morning, good morning, Saints. Good morning, Canada. Good morning, Africa. Good morning, Fiji. Good morning, US of A. Good morning, Bahamas. Good morning, all around the world. We welcome you today at our executive meeting. And last but not least, our ADL family. And once again, if you're tuning in to us today on a daily basis, guess what? You're our ADL, you're our family too. But first, last but not least, but first, let's bring in, on a, put a praise on the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ, we thank Him again, once again today. Thank TGIF, thank God, it is Friday. But you know, over here, ADL, we thank every day, God, every day, that it's a blessed day to see this day. Mr. Meeting, could you bring us in one of your wonderful prayers?
Praise the Lord. Good morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, as we come before your throne this morning, Father God, we come to you, Lord Jesus, just leaving everything at your throne on this morning, Father God. We come to you, Father God, with the newness, Father God. We come, Lord Jesus, seeing something that we've never seen before, Father God. A new day, Father God. A new minute, Father God. A new second, Father God. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your new mercies, Father God. We thank you for your new grace, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, as we come before your throne this morning in boldness, Father God, in strength, Father God, with faith, Father God, with love, Father God. We just thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we come to you this morning, Father God, trusting you, Lord Jesus, not leaning on our own understanding, Father God, but coming to you, Father God, in every aspect of our lives, Father God. Coming to you, Father God, petitioning you, Father God, asking, seeking ye first, Father God, before we do anything else, Father God. Lord, we magnify your holy name this morning, Father God. You are so worthy to be praised, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We just adore you, Father God. We exalt thee, Father God, because you are just majestic, Father God. No one, Father God, compared to you, Lord Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your loving arms, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for sending your love to Fiji, Lord Jesus, to the United Kingdom, to South Africa, Father God. We thank you for not being a respecter of persons, Father God, but you are a sharing God, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for when we call on your name, Lord Jesus, we know, Father God, that we will get an answer, whether it's yes or no, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just praise your holy name this morning, Lord Jesus, as we decree and declare a new beginning, Father God, as we decree and declare, Father God, that we shall not go backwards, Father God, but we will continue to move forward, Father God, as we decree and declare, Father God, that all things have passed away, Father God, and now we're running towards the mark, Father God. We just thank you on this morning, Lord Jesus. And we can never say thank you enough, Father God. We can never show you, Father God, how thankful and how grateful we are, Father God. But we will have an attitude of gratitude, Father God. And we just thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you in the name of Jesus, Lord, because you are so worthy. In Jesus' mighty name, we send this prayer up, Father God, knowing, Lord Jesus, that you will not pass us by on this day, Father God, but you will continue to bless us, Father, over and over, and fill our cups up, Lord, so we shall not be empty. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We just thank God on today because he is so, so worthy to be praised. It is faithfulness Friday. We are ending this week out with faithfulness, the word, the fruit of the spirit of faithfulness. And I just didn't tell you all, we know that it's something that we have to continue to work on. But I am so grateful on today that we can speak on it. And I'm going to come out of my book again, my gift that I had was given, Rose Book, the Bible charts, maps, and timelines, and talk about the fruits of the Spirit. We know that they are found in Galatians 5:22-23, and the definition is dependable, loyal, full of trust. It's also steadfastness, dedication, loyalty, if I didn't say that, faith, just being faithful, having faith, that's what faithfulness is. The description is faithfulness is firm devotion to God, loyalty to friends, and dependability to carry out responsibilities. Faith is the conviction that even now God is working and acting on our behalf. The Greek word for faith is pistis, P-I-S-S-T-I-S-S, pistis. And I want, before I bring Minister Chiquita on, I would like to go through a scripture that's provided in reference to faithfulness, and that is Proverbs 3:3, and it says, never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. What this scripture is saying to you is that no matter what you are going through, no matter once you have decided that that conscious decision comes in again, that you are going to be faithful to whether it's a friend, whether it's your job, in your marriage. And I'm telling you all, this is something that this is a transformation. I am so thankful on today that I can say this word, because last year, a year and a half ago, I wouldn't be able to even touch it because I was not steadfast. I was not, I was unmovable, going through some rocky times. But on today, I just thank God that I am a overcomer. I am able to share this. I am able to. I have tied that word faithfulness around my neck. It never leaves me. No matter what type of situations come my way, I'm able to sit and stay true to whatever my situation is, whatever my circumstances is. When people are able to come and say different things or do different things, I'm not movable. I'm steadfast. In everything that God has done for me, it is imparted deep within my heart. Because it's times when situations take place, you have to go in that heart. You have to pull things out of there to be reminded, hey, didn't God move you from this situation? Didn't he move you from here and place you over there? Did he take you out of that net, of that web of confusion, that web of gossipers, that web of backstabbers, that web of people that's just deceitful, and bring you in on solid ground into a foundation that builds those people that are up on the wall? Hallelujah. I'm getting so excited, y'all, just so understand. Just put you in a place where you could grow, put you into a place where you can expand, not just you. Your expansion goes on to other people. You're able to give the true unadulterated word. You're not letting the words that come out of your mouth not be acceptable to me, but the words that are, I'm accepting them, I'm approving them, your actions, your walk, your talk. So sometimes everything that God does for me, my faithfulness does not, I do not take it lightly. Any and everything that I do it with the understanding and knowing that I have to be faithful to God, that I made a vow. I committed myself to God. I accepted the charge. I accepted the responsibilities. I accepted the assignment. So I have to be faithful to my job, most of all to my spouse, to my kids, to my mother, everybody that God has placed at this point in time in my circle. I must. It's not that I think about it. It's not the fact that I shoulda, coulda, woulda. Understand the words.
I'm going to give you two. I must and I shall be faithful. I must, meaning that there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And I shall, meaning that I will do it no matter what it is. Because one thing I can say, my brothers and sisters, is that God is faithful. His faithfulness is as well as his love, his joy, his peace, his understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. It never fails us. It never fails us. It's always, we fail the test. So when we get into a place that we can overcome something and then talk about it, it makes you want to shout. It makes you want to dance. It makes you want to pat yourself on the back and prophesy to yourself and say, faithful servant, job well done, because you were able to move all of this mess out of the way. You were able to look into that mirror and see that mirror effect and pull all those little ugly thorns and all of those little ugly things that was not of me out of the way so I can use you. And in the using part, I just need you to continue to be faithful. That faithfulness has to remain there. There is no option. There is no option. Understand what I'm saying. There is no option in reference to being faithful. The faithfulness that God has for you is the faithfulness that you are to have to anybody that God has placed in your circle, just around you. I don't care if it's the little things. You're to be faithful. Your faithfulness is to be there and in place, not wavering, not moving all over the place, not waving your hands today, and then tomorrow they down to the side. You are in this army, and you're strict, and you're doing what you're supposed to do. Be steadfast. Be unmovable. Be loyal to the cause of whatever God. Understand this. If Jesus is the head of your life and you've accepted him, then the things, the places where God placed you, it's not that you placed yourself there. It's God placed you there. When you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, guide you, and order your footsteps, God places you there. That's under the unction of the Holy Spirit. So don't get it twisted. Don't think that it's something that you're doing. What your job is to stay faithful to the cause. Come on, Minister Chiquita, bring us in, baby.
Yes, Evangelist. Of trust and loyalty thanks. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is a confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It is important as people of God to be faithful to God. It is one thing to simply believe in him, but trust and believe is another to have full faith in him, to be faithful to him. We are truly faithful to God. When we are truly faithful to him, it shapes the way we live. For example, we are able to be loyal in our relationships here on earth and be truly, truly love other people unconditionally, wholeheartedly, with the same agape love that he loved us. Faithfulness requires us to submit our ways to God. It comes from a place of realizing that we are in need of a savior and he is in control of our lives. We have many things that we go through in life that would try to shake your faith, but you have to stay hold in it, because in Proverbs 19:21, it says, many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. We ought to be faithful to God because he is faithful to us. There are many examples throughout the Bible, but the examples that you should set forth is the ones in your own life. And me wholeheartedly, you getting up every day listening to us on this phone, you seeking God, that's a part of your faithfulness. And you should have this faithfulness. You should want your faithfulness to grow. You should. How does it grow? It's as simple as you grow by having a personal relationship with Christ. One of the things that you're going to hear through all the fruits of the Spirit, you have to grow and have a personal relationship with Christ. If we are truly to be faithful to him and obey his commandments, this will be evident in our life. Think about the ways your faith that you're faithful to God. Are there things that's getting in the way? Are there areas in your life that you have not given over to Him? Then you need to spend some time in prayer. And you will ask God to make things clear to you so that you can grow in your faithfulness to Him. These are the things in life that you want to not surpass. You want to be in the faithfulness. You want to have true faithfulness to God. You have to be just like Jesus. You have to be faithful. You have to be brave in all your tough situations and times. It may get weary, but you have to be brave like Jesus. Like Jesus said, if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large things. Jesus teaches us to grow our faithfulness from something smaller, and once we are faithful at that level, we can move to the next level. But we have to grow at this level first. The Holy Spirit is growing us in our faithfulness right now, just like in Jesus. And you continue in this, you continue to pray and spend time in the Bible and have faithfulness. The faithfulness will help you to be brave. Trust God. If faithfulness is not giving up, it's trusting in God. When we are faithful, we can show God and others that we can be trusted. Faithfulness also follows through. It always follows through. It means doing what you say you will do, no matter what. Even if you tell a friend you'll meet them somewhere, that you will show up, because you don't want that bad outlook on you. The same way God has with you. So you hold fast to your faithfulness of God through prayer, supplication, faithfulness, fasting, reading the Bible, fellowshipping, finding a good home church and get deep rooted in it to where someone that's understanding real sound in doctrine of the Jesus Christ and get it down all in your system to the point where you can't move or operate without it. It's something that you need in you that goes along with the other fruits of the Spirit, joy, hope, and love that we spoke about this week. They all tie into one. You have to have a totally trust and loyalty of God to place yourself over to Him in His hands, and knowing that He can do everything that He said He can do and He will do in your life. Anything that you can think of, ask God for it. He will do it. But you have to believe in Him. You have to put your trust in Him. You have to put your whole faithfulness in Him. These are not the things that you want to put on the wayside in our life. You do not want to follow and go into footsteps of people in the past or walk around that mountain or be the people that in the wilderness just walking around in the wilderness. You want to stay in the alignment of God. You want to keep the things in line that you know you hold you to your promises of God, your faithfulness to Him, being loyal to Him. So there are things in life that we have to put aside in order to even be faithful to God, and that's our flesh and that's us. So we have to know that God always keeps all His promises. He always does. If we pray to God, He will always help us. He always keeps His promise. He never gives up on us, no matter what we do. And that's in the faithfulness. That's His mercy and that's His grace. That's the part of us in our life that gives us knowing that God can do a sudden and abundantly of anything that we can even place our eyesight on. Master Nita, would you like to elaborate?
Amen. I want to revisit something that Minister Shakita said just briefly. She talked about the Israelites constantly that just steady walked around that same mountain never got into the promised land. They just continued to walk in. And one of the reasons that they did that is because they did not have faith. They did not have faith in God, because they truly did not know God. They truly did not know who God was, so they could not put their faith, their trust, their belief in Him. And not only that, they lacked confidence. They had no confidence in the situation of where they were going. They did not know. They did not have the knowing. They could not visualize it. So therefore, there was no faith there, and there was no obedience there. There was no personal relationship there with God. So, yes, they was just out there complaining and whining because they did not know who they were, and they did not know what God could truly do for them. It did not matter that he had parted the Red Sea. It did not matter that he had shown them plagues, that was going all throughout Egypt. It did not matter that he had them to go inside their home and place the blood on their posts, their doors. Above their doors. That did not matter because, see, they did not know him. They did not know what loyalty was. They did not know what devotion was. They did not know what trust was. They may have knew it in their own mind, but they didn't know it, and they didn't know it to know God. And this is why it's so important for you to, it keeps going back into that personal, intimate relationship, knowing who God is for yourself. Trusting God, believing him, but most of all, getting to know him for self, spending time with him, meditating on the word, as we spoke yesterday, communing with him, praying, fasting, talking to him about everything so you can build your confidence, so you can build your trust, so you can build those things. And I want to give a scripture. According to Hebrews 3:6, it says, but Christ is faithful as the son over God's house. And if we are his house in need, we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. I want to say something about that. You know, a lot of times we overlook the word or we don't pay attention to ifs and buts and different things like that in the Bible, just like it is here in Hebrews 3:6. It says, if in need it, we hold firmly to our confidence. But one thing we do know that is that God will do, we do know that God will do what he says that he will do. If we do, this is where this if comes in. If we do what we are supposed to do, see, we have the privilege, according to this scriptures, of being members of our Father's house. We remain firm in faith until the end. Going to the altar, praying, again, fasting, consecrating yourself, going and praying the sinner's prayer, asking for forgiveness, repenting, giving out confessions, and believing that it has taken so. And see, that just starts you. That's the beginning of your relationship with God. That's the beginning. If you can get those things out of the way, if you can go before God and confess who you are, confess who you are, repent, and ask God for his forgiveness. That's the beginning of the relationship. There's so much more that comes with that. There is so much more. We have to get into a place where we, number one, we identify self. I'm going to keep talking about that identification, and I can only tell you because it was told to me. I had to grasp hold to it and then apply it into my life. I can't be a help to anyone else if I don't have myself corrected, if I can't identify my flaws. And there are flaws, but the beauty of it is I'm willing to make a change. And once those flaws are identified, I'm willing to take it to the Father and place it at his throne, place it at his feet, and say, Father, I need help with this because it's way too big for me because it becomes a habit. I have a habit of doing the same thing over and over and over again. And why do you all think that it was like that? Because I didn't have that personal, intimate relationship with God.
I was not developing that relationship. See, my relationship was based on my mother's. My relationship was based on my great-grandmother. My relationship was based on the pastors that pastored me. It wasn't based on me knowing who God was, me being loyal to the cause, me having the boldness and the confidence to sit and say, yes, I am my father's daughter. But this scripture says we have the, what does it say? It says that, and we are his house. This is what that is saying. We are his house. So we have to make sure that we remain confident. Our confidence, we have to build our confidence. And confidence and faith, they're both synonyms. They're synonyms. Sometimes they can be interchangeable without losing the context of what is being fully said. But I can sit and tell you, I can give you a lot of definitions about faith because there is so much. But I would sit and tell you that you cannot have faith in God if you do not know him. You cannot have confidence in God if you don't believe him or if you don't trust him. I can sit and tell you, even though you're sitting, as I used an illustration before, that we just sit down and we don't look behind us because that's a habit. But when you really get the knowing of something, then you build that boldness, you build that courageousness, you build those different things inside of you where you don't have to waver. You stay steadfast, you stay unmovable. We hurt ourselves because we don't spend enough time with God or in the Word of God, communing with God, so that faith can manifest in our lives. As soon as a situation comes up, we sit and we go the opposite way. Most of the time, we go backwards. And one thing about God is not a backwards God. God gave us different things in the Bible that we can reference, but in my life, God is not a backwards God. I can have testimonies to tell you about things that may have happened in my past, but that does not mean that I parked in my past. That does not mean I go back into those different ways, because that makes me where I'm not faith to the cause, because I'm back into a place that I was before. And that's why I thank God for new mercies, new grace. That's why I thank God that he puts us on a solid foundation. He takes the seed, hallelujah. He plants seeds and he brings other people in. He's the gardener, but he brings other people in to water, to nourish those seeds, to put you in a place where you can identify what faith is, where you can identify what faithful is, where you can identify where you are faithful in all things that you are doing. God wants greatness for us. God identify us as his children, as his sons and daughters. So therefore, he's going to give us greatness. It's not designed for you and I to be in a place where we're hurting all the time, where we are complaining all the time. We're in a place where greatness comes in. We're in a place where we prosper, where we see success, whether it's spiritual, physically, mentally, not a place of depression, not a place of hurt, not a place of pain, but that all comes, that moves to the side when you allow that personal relationship that God, in the scripture in Revelation, it says he's knocking, it says Jesus is knocking at the door. All we need to do is let him in. That's the first step. Let him in so you can get to know him. So you can start learning the things that he has for you. So you feel comfortable with him. You're not worried about what other people say or what they think, because you are in the arms of God. You are in his presence instead of being outside of his presence. And his presence is his will. You being outside of his will, you are in his will, so the protection comes into place. The protection comes in. the provisions come in. Sometimes the want, the healing come in. The deliverance come in. But you have to build that faith to know that God is who he says he is, and he will do what he says he will do. Scripture says that God's word never comes back void. That means that whatever he puts out there, whether I get it, whether you get it, or whether somebody in South Africa is getting it, Fiji is getting it, United Kingdom, wherever you, United States of America, wherever you are, his word is not returning void. If God has told you something, you better trust and believe that it's going to come through. That's where that faith come in, that faithfulness come in. That's where that comes in. And God says that we are his house. If we are his house, that means he's going to take care of us. Do you hear what I'm saying? He's going to take care of us. He's going to make sure that your provisions are made. It tells you in Matthew. He's going to tell you that. He's going to make sure that everything is taken care of. He's going to tell you that this is where you have to build that confidence. That confidence comes into play. If you have no confidence, no trust, no understanding, no knowing, no safety, none of that, then you cannot sit and say that you are a faithful person. You may be faithful to the things that's not of God. You may be faithful to the diabolical spirits that's going in and out, that's allowing you to do whatever you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, and there's no rod of correction there. You may be able, and you might call that faith, but I'm here to tell you today, the devil is a liar. Because the word of God say to love me is to obey my commandments. All of that comes in one big package, the fruits of the spirit. Those are characteristics that you and I must develop over the time. It's not a fact with faithfulness that because you got a prick or cut on your finger, you're gonna sit and say, I'm not going back in to do this anymore because I cut myself. No, you're going to fix that up and continue into where God or whomever, whatever your circumstances is at that time, to continue it. Faith. Believing in something that you cannot see. That's faith. Trusting that God is not going to leave you nor forsake you. That's faith. Look at Abraham. Abraham had no clue where he was going. He picked up, he packed up, he took his family, and he was obedient to the will of God, to what God said to him. He didn't know, but he learned to know. He learned. God chose Abraham because of the personal relationship that they had. God knew what Abraham would do. My question to you today before I turn it back over to Minister Chiquita, can God count you faithful? Can God count you faithful in your actions? Can God count you faithful? Can God sit and say to you today, I'm tapping you, today you are my chosen person. You are my person and I'm going wherever, even in the natural, wherever it's an assignment. God may choose you to go and do something so minor, but can he trust you to do it? Are you faithful enough? Are you loyal? Are you dedicated to what God is asking you to do? So ask yourself this. Where's my study time? Where is my prayer time? Where am I just too busy for God? Am I too busy to commune with him? Am I too busy to talk to him? Am I too busy just to say Jesus? Oh, hallelujah. Ask yourself that. Turning it back over to you, Minister Chiquita.
Yes, Saint. Exactly how Evangelist was saying it. You got to want it. You got to want it so bad that you can taste it. You got to want it so bad that you want to run and chase after it. The faithfulness and the loyalty of God is so true, it's so promising that you can anything that you place your mind to, anything that you place your heart on, the faithfulness of God will bring it through. It will bring it to pass because he leaves you nothing. Nothing is unturned for him to promise you, for your promises that he gives you. You don't want to be like a minister, I'm sorry, like I said, an evangelist said, you don't want to be stuck in the wilderness. You don't want to be walking around, running around, trying to get into a place that you are not entitled to because you haven't put forth the effort and put the things that you need to instill in your life so you can get there. You want to get into the promised land. So you have to stay in the course. You cannot get weary. You cannot be timid. You cannot have fear. You have to release that fear into where it back, just send it back to where it came from, because it's not of God. God will only give you things that's of enriching in the spirit. He will only induce things in you that will add to you, not take from you. So faith is one of the things. It's a quality. It's a fruit that God gives us that we simply don't endure. We live by faith. You have to live by it. God is faith, and he grants this quality to his children. And this, the Holy Spirit produces this in believers that of his faithfulness. As a result, we believe God is who he said he is, and he will do what he said he will do. His faithful character directly affects our lives. We have nothing to fear. We have to wait for him to fulfill his promises. This is assurance that the fruit of the Spirit, this is assurance of it. Do you hear me, people? This is assurance, insurance, assurance that God will do everything he said he will and he can do, that you put your mind to it if you want it. You have to believe. You have to have a loyalty to him. You have to have a faithfulness to him. You have to get up at 7 a.m. You have to get up sometime at 1 a.m., sometime at 3 a.m. to do your prayers. Whatever you see fit, when God sees fit for you to call, you get up and you take on the call. So that is your faithfulness. You're staying whole, staying strong. You're staying in the pocket. You have to want it that bad that your existence yearns it. That ain't nothing. You're not going to get anything from life. You will get some things, but they're not going to be raw things that you will keep in your possession that are blessed from God, that you know that is true, that you don't have to look over your shoulder for because you did something wrong or it came to you in a wrong way. Because God will give you all the things that you want, all the things that your heart desires. I promise you, saints, you look to the heavens for what your help came. Faithfulness is the key. Loyalty, trusting in God, a relationship, a whole relationship, one struggle is closer than the one you have with your husband. It's one struggle closer than you have with your mama. It's one struggle closer than you have with your daddy. It's that strong of a relationship, that's that close of a relationship, that it can't nobody come between you and him. It's between you and him. You want to see his face. At work, you take a little glimpse, and you go say, thank you, Jesus, and you keep on walking, making them play. It's your loyalty to him that he wants to see, that he knows that you possess in you, saints, in the pocket. Stay steadfast, stay strong. God does not give up on who does not give up on him. Back to you, Evangelist.
She said, stay in the pocket. I like that. Stay, and I'm going to add to that. Stay in the pocket of Christ, because we as believers, Christ resides and he lives in us. That's what makes us great. That's what makes us loyal. That's what makes us steadfast, immovable. That's what gives us courage. That's what gives us confidence. That's what gives us hope for tomorrow. That's what gives us, that's what let us realize our new mercies, the mercies and the grace that God gives us daily. That's what just lets us recognize the love that he has for us, because he resides in us. He resides in us as believers. So with that being said, we know that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Therefore, we know that we can be faithful in the time of trouble. We can, whatever our circumstances and situation is, we can remain steadfast, unmovable, because we know that God is our rescuer.
In scripture, it tells you that he will come and take, he will give, extend his hand when you out there in the deep waters. The Hebrew boy showed us that in the fire. They showed us that, if the scripture says the fourth, it was that King Nebuchadnezzar seen a fourth man in there. It showed that God was that the powers of God did not allow them to be harmed. They came out with not even a stench of smoke on them. Daniel in the lion's den. See, when you get that person, Daniel and those Hebrew boys, they knew who God was. They trusted God with their very lives. Those scriptures right there, they give me so much hope for tomorrow, even though it happened thousands and thousands of years ago. It's not about when it happened. It's about when God shows up. It's about God's timing. It's about knowing without a shadow of a doubt that he is going to be there. Knowing that whatever your circumstance or situation, you may have to go through things a little bit longer because there you have to pass a test. It's just a test to see if you, as you go through this, are you going to abandon God? Or are you going to stay? Are you going to continue to persevere? Are you going to continue to walk through that fire? Are you going to continue to walk through the storm of the storms of life? And I'm going to give you another, I'm going to give you to help you with this. The scripture says that it's not our battle. It's not our battle. God, the battle is God's battle. When you allow God to be your God, Christ to reside in you, you should have a knowing that God is right there. Scripture says that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Do you believe that? Have you tried Christ? I'm going to keep saying it. Have you tried to get to know Christ? Have you put everything else to the side and say, Father, here I am. Take me as I am. I surrender all to you. Have you tried that? Or do you do it, and then when a circumstance comes, you forgot that you even said it? Have you opened the door, and soon as the situation, have you answered the door? I'm going to say that. Have you put your hand on that door and opened it a little bit from the crack of the door, from it being a crack, and have you fully let the light come in, which is Christ? Have you fully allowed the light to come into your life so you can get to a place where you can start the transformation of your characteristics, start going into a place of the fruits of the Spirit? Have you? And if you haven't, I sit and say unto you today, something that you really, really, truly need to make a conscious decision of. Pay attention to the people, the places, wherever you're at right now. Pay attention to your surroundings. Pay attention to it spiritually, mentally, physically, geographically. Pay attention to it and ask yourself, can you see God in it? The people that you see, do you see God in them? Do you see increase? Do you see where you are promotion? Or do you see yourself right where you're at, which causes you to waver because you truly won't make a conscious decision? I decree on this and declare on this day that you will make a conscious decision to try Christ, to engage into a physical, a relationship with God. And when I say physical, I mean action, getting up. When you get up, when you do something different, that's a verb. Start reading, that's a verb. Start praying. I'm putting ing behind it. That means an action. Start fasting, consecrating, communing. Start doing those things. Let God know today that I need you more than anything. I'm tired and sick and tired of going around that mountain. I'm ready. I'm in a place, Lord Jesus, where I'm ready to get to know you, because I too want all of my ugly, sinful ways to be removed, because this is where people know me. This is who they know me as being. They see my oldness, but I'm ready to walk into your newness. I'm ready for that transformation. I'm ready to renew my mind. I'm ready I'm asking you to create in me a clean heart, blot my old sins away, send them to the east, send them to the west, and allow me to get closer to you. Ask God, trust and believe. When you decide to make God the head of your life, and you allow Jesus to reside, that Holy Spirit to reside in you, you will see a change. You will see a change. It's so easy. Tremaine Jackson made a song, A Change Has Come Over Me. I used to sing that song so much in the 70s and not even knew what it was. But I'm going to tell you this. When I identified the change, I identified who Christ was, who he is, not was, in my life, I could truly sing that song today. May not sound the same that it used to be, but God knows my heart. He knows the words that's coming out. He knows that I truly mean it, because I stopped playing, stopped dealing with bootleggers, stopped dealing with deception, stopped dealing with lies, and started trusting, believing, receiving, and applying God into my life. So we leave you on today, this beautiful Friday, this beautiful, fantastic Friday, and tell you to remain, get into, go surrender yourself to God. Surrender yourself. Allow Christ to live inside of you, to reside inside of you, so people can see who you really are, so they can see the beauty that God created you to be. They can see you don't have to go around and live in shame anymore. You don't have to be into a place where you can't be courageous. You don't have to be into a place where you're worried about the words that's coming out of your mouth, because you've entered into Christ. So you've already given him the permission to allow the words to come out of your mouth to be acceptable to him. Get into that place. Get into that place where you're not leaning on your own understanding, but you're trusting God in every aspect of your life. Remain loyal, remain dedicated, remain steadfast, unmovable. Continue. Put yourself in a place where it becomes habitual. You become habitual when you are in the presence of the Lord, when you're seeking his face, when you're praying to him, when you're fasting to him, when you're consecrating yourself. Make it a habitual habit, as we make it a habitual habit to lie, to sin, to deceit, to cheat, to do whatever. Let those things go and go into the newness. Allow Christ to be your guide, to be the author of everything, the author and the finisher of everything, because God is the Alpha and the Omega. Stay true. Stay on the wall. Remain faithful in everything that you do. Loyal. Apply the joy of God that he has given you into your life. Allow his unfailing love to keep you, even when in a time when you feel like you're getting ready to fall. Allow him to extend that hand out to bring you back up. That's love. Trust and believe is love. We love you guys. We'll see you again. But guess what? God loves you most. He loves you best. Jesus, he does. Hallelujah. He truly does. Hallelujah. Yes, he does. And we will see you all on Sunday. Bring somebody out with you. Bring somebody out with you on Monday through Friday. I know that God has some words for you. I know that he is just putting something together. I know pretty soon he is going to come out to send his word out that's going to bless the multitude of people, and we are the multitude. We are the multitude, different creed, color, whatever it is, but we serve in one God. So we have one thing in common,
that we serve the one unadulterated God, our Elohim, the Creator. We'll see you again out on Sunday morning and then again Monday morning at 7 a.m. We love you. Remain loyal. Remain faithful. Remain dedicated to the cause, whatever the cause is, as long as you are in the will of God. I want to leave that. I want to make sure that I leave that out there. As long as you are being obedient, Apostle Temple says we live in holiness with no apologies. Get yourself in a place in the will of God. So when your life changes, there's no apologies. You have no apologies to nobody when that transformation takes place. Again, may God bless you all. May he keep you. May his love just abound all over you and flourish over you on this day and the entire weekend. We'll see you again on Sunday. May God bless you. Have a great day.